Another great lesson today, one that we should take careful note of us. Those who say that they love the Lord, that they are born again, that they believe the word of God. They believe that the word of God is God, that God is no shorter, no greater than his word. If you've today's lesson, for those of you who've been called to preach the word, you might want to pay close attention to this, because this to me is an exemplary call, because the brother that we're going to talk about, his courage today, is a brother that we know that was called in his mother's womb. He was called before he was born, and he was called specifically to preach the word of God. And he is our profile in courage this morning. He is the person that we're going to look at and see how, in the face of deadly threats for just talking, Can you imagine that your life would be in peril for just talking? And if that scares you, Fred, that your life would be in peril amongst family members just for talking, that your life would be in peril for people who say what you're saying is from the same God that they believe exists. That's the type of deadly threat that we're going to see Jeremiah stand up to this morning. Jeremiah, in the year of Joachim, the son of Josiah, reigned approximately 608 BC. Jeremiah is once again called upon to speak a word to the people of God, to a nation who has gotten off course, a nation who has strayed. We live in a day where you can't say anything. As a matter of fact, Sister Callis, as I speak now, they are preparing themselves to chat and to go on Facebook and Instagram and say, you know, there he goes again. But I stand before you and sit before you this morning on this Zoom call to tell you that I, like Jeremiah, just believe that if it's the word of God, it should be spoken. And if it's the word of God, it certainly needs to be spoken in your church. If it's the word of God. The issue before us today is to see how it is that Jeremiah is able to stand in the wake of deadly threats, according to our authors. But I want to take you, and I think I see, I'm a call on a preacher this morning, to just to give us the reason, and just in case, I'm going to give you the flavor for what the threat was and how the events came. But I want to show you how it is that Jeremiah did not have a problem. And I think Minister Brown, you're there. Sister Bonds, Shunta Bonds, would you please unmute also? But Minister Harriet Brown, would you go to the very first chapter of Jeremiah, if you're there? If you're there, I don't see her.
I'm here.
Oh, yes. Okay. Minister Brown, would you go to, I want you to read verses 18 and 19 of chapter 1.
Okay. Wait just a moment. You said Jeremiah?
Jeremiah. First chapter, verse 18 and 19. And see, you guys already know 2 Timothy 3:16. You already know 2 Timothy 4, where Paul encourages his young protege, you know, you got to preach the word. You got to preach the word in season and out of season. You got to preach the word when they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. Because in verse, in chapter 3, he says, all scripture is given for by inspiration, for correction and reproof, for the uplifting of lives. But I want you to hear this young preacher who has been called. Verse 18 and 19, if you would, Minister Brown, and then Sister Bond, I want you to read verse 1, 2, and 3. Sister Shunta Bonds.
Okay, so Jeremiah 1:18-19. But behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, said the Lord, to deliver thee.
And Minister Brown, you, just by the title that you said you were a minister. Did you read that scripture right? Would you read the latter clause of verse 19?
But they shall not prevail against thee.
Oh.
For I am with thee, said the Lord, to deliver thee.
See, God, if God calls you, he will equip you and he will protect you. All your responsibility is to simply do what he says do. And that is preach the word. Tell my people what I say.
Amen.
Sister Chanta Bonds.
Chanta.
You know, I'm still going to call you Chanta because I'm a Carolina boy.
Okay.
I don't have that old lady's flair, Sister Bonds. Sister Bonds, 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, Jeremiah 26:1. In the beginning of the reign of
Jehoiakim,
the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus said the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. 3, if so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings.
Did you hear Sister Bonds says, I want you to speak every word that I say. Did y'all hear her read that? Do I need somebody else to read it? Maybe y'all couldn't hear Sister Bonds. but if I heard her correctly, it said that I want you to speak the entire message. I want you to include every word. Don't go changing it. In other words, the word of God is to be spoken as God gives the word, not your opinion. Mm-hmm. We have succumbed in this society, Sister Stallings, to only wanting to hear that which makes us feel good. If Deacon Snead is going to talk about Deacon Newsom's sin, you don't have a problem. But when Deacon Snead wants to talk about your sin, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. But God tells Jeremiah, you go where to go and what to say.
What to say. Mm-hmm.
He tells him, go to the church house. Mm-hmm. Because the people in the church house needs to hear this word. And when you preach that word, you tell them everything that I said, because it is the word of God. If you tell them what I told you, you can reflect back to verse 19 of chapter 1 when I first started talking to you, and you will find out you won't have a problem. Sister Bonds, verse 4.
And thou shalt say unto them, thus says the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you.
What? Verse 5.
To hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened.
God sends a word and says that you have not listened, nor have you acted in the way in which the Lord your God, the great I am, has stated and covenanted with you to act and say. You haven't said the things, you haven't done the things. You're moving further and further away from me. And we know the historical background. This new king, he wasn't like his daddy. He was wicked, and that he was leading the people in a wicked way. And there was a form of religion, Sister Callis. You know, in other words, religion, the temple, the holy city, was it was like some old superstitious thing. You know, it's like the guy who carried a New Testament Bible in his pocket and he got shot and he didn't get killed or harmed by it. So Bobby, what he did, he always carried the Bible in that pocket from then on for protection, but he never lived what was in the Bible. See, we've got in our cute little churches here, even during COVID, and we've got our Zoom capabilities so that we can stay connected. But the real issue is the word of God going forward? Or have we degenerated into some sort of psychobabble that the things that we are still required to do, regardless whether or not we meet in person, whether we meet online? There are certain things that God requires. And one of the things that he requires is that his word be taught and preached throughout the land. They were not doing it. And God was, he says, you tell them they're not doing it. You tell them exactly where they are. He says, when you tell them, I want you to add this statement, Sister Bonds, verse 6.
Then will I make the house like Shiloh, and will make the city a curse to all nations of the earth.
Ooh, let me tell you one thing. If Bobby Key and Davies and Monty and T.G. Sneed was in that gallery, the hair on our head would have stood up when we heard this. Because, you know, all these prophets and priests and prophetess and shot callers and ballers, religious figures, they heard the words of Jeremiah. And they heard him say he was speaking for God, and that God says, I'll make you like Shiloh. Hey, you don't have to remember the Alamo, but I guarantee you these people remember Shiloh, because Shiloh was that holy and sacred place where the Ark of the Covenant first was, and that, you know, the Philistines or the Philistines had utterly torn it down, destroyed it. And God says, just like I told them what I would do at Shiloh, I'm going to do here in the city, in your city, in your church, in your community, in your country. I will do, because folk are out of line with God. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, this is not what they wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. Now, Sister Bond read this. I chose her specifically to read this. I chose Sister Minister Brown to read the charge and the confidence. Jeremiah, you understand, was a meek, mild young man when he was called. He didn't have a personality like Fred Jeffries or Monty Bogan, you know, bold and adventurous. And, you know, this guy was mild and meek, and he was sensitive, and he was known by some as a crybaby. So when he comes, this is not the first time he had this message. Because those of you who read and read the context know that over in chapter 7, Sister Joyce, this same warning, this same type of warning was given. And now God is coming again. And see, the thing about it is that God keep on telling you something. And you can keep on ignoring, but he'll keep on telling you. Mm-hmm. And you can keep on ignoring, but he'll keep on telling you. But in the fullness of time, when the time is right, you won't know what hit you. Mm-hmm. And that's what God is saying. Just like I did what I did in Shiloh, I will do here, because mm-hmm. you are totally out of my will. And Jeremiah, this mild meek. But you know, that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of God's word. God calls men and women, boys and girls even, to share his word through their personality. And ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter whether you have a gruff personality like some people I know on the Zoom, or you have a meek and mild personality like some people I know on the Zoom. If you say what thus says the Lord, God will use that truth through your personality to convict and convince men and women. The warning has been given. The word of God has been spoken. But I want to remind everyone on this call this morning, Sister Callis, just because you tell the truth don't mean that everybody's going to accept the truth.
Amen.
There are many of us that are no longer doing what we do because we stood up and we told the truth. There are some of us who have been physically harmed because we told the truth. Because we live in a time where people can't handle the truth. They deny the truth. The word of God is truth. God is truth. And when you tell, when you say, when you speak, when you act out God's word, men and women can handle it. And you know what the sad thing is, Brother Davis? Is that
this is so amazing.
He's talking to folk that say they love God. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that the heathen would be despondent, would be angry over what I would have to say out of the word of God. But the folk who said that they love God, folk who in the church house, they beat you going to church. They'll break down the door. They'll take your seat. They'll move your space to get there to false worship, to false prophesy, mm-hmm. the false preach and teach. Because what they want, anytime you don't say it the way that God has it in the book, it's not true. Mm-hmm. If you diminish it in any way, if you try to break it down and make it nice, make it palatable so people can chomp on it, the word is just neutral. It just says what it says. That's why Paul says, let us reason together. He said, and what that means, a lot of folks don't really understand what that means, Fred. It means, let's sit down and read the scripture. Mm-hmm. And if the scripture says, oh, okay, thou shalt not steal, don't get your hand caught in the cookie jar. if the scripture says, thou shalt not commit adultery, don't get caught in somebody else's house. If the scripture says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, you gotta love your wife as Christ loved the church. If the scripture says, respond to your husband, submit to your husband as Christ submitted himself. If the scripture says, have the same mind of Christ, mm-hmm. you gotta say that. A lie is a lie if everybody believes it. The truth is the truth if nobody
believes. Nobody. Amen.
And God's word is true. And as long as you're standing on God's word, I'm not worried about it. I'm not. Because Minister Brown already told me in verse 19 of chapter 1 that as long as I'm speaking God's word, God's got my back.
Amen.
Sister Bonds, you told us what the warning is. Sister Callis, are you there? Michelle Callis, I saw you pop up on the screen. Are you there and capable of sharing with us the reaction?
Muted. She's muted.
Sister Action, she's muted.
I'm here. Right.
Could you read for me? I want you to read verse 8 and 9.
In chapter
26. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to stay in 26.
Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all Sister that Callis. The Lord had commanded.
Sister Callis, him. Do yes. me a favor. I'm suffering from a little cognitive dysfunction this morning. Could we read verse 7 too? Because I, as a matter of fact, the Lord already admonished us. Read every word. right, Sister Brown? All right. Yes, so sir. We're going to read 7. We're going to read 7.
So the priest and the prophet and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, you will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people who were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord.
So, Sister Callis has told us that the priests, the prophets, and the people, they listen intently. Sister Vanessa, did you hear me say they listen intently? They hung on every word. Just because people are listening to what you have to say, don't mean that they're going to accept what you got to say.
Oh. Amen.
Y'all ain't fooling me. You ain't fooling me. I know, you know, as many, you know, you figure after, let's see, 30 years of teaching here at the Resurrection Baptist Church, and some of y'all were here doing all those 30 years. You think that on any given Wednesday or Tuesday or Sunday morning that I haven't said something out of the Word of God that you listened to intently and then got right up out of your seat, got right up out of the Zoom call and said, that guy must be crazy. I ain't listening to that. Well, folks, let me tell you one thing. You don't even have to listen to me. But I guarantee you, you need to hear God. I'll say it again. You don't have to listen to me. But you got to hear God. And God is saying that people will get mad at what you have to say when you tell the truth. When you say, thus saith the Lord, there are people that will get mad. There's an expectation that the people in the world will get mad. There's an expectation. I understand. Folk who don't know Christ, folk who don't know God, when you come to them, that's why they tell you, don't come up here with all that old religious stuff. See, before you even say anything, some folk just jump right on you. And after you say something, well, you know, I know you believe that, but I don't believe that. I just believe that God has given us a mind and we need to think for ourselves and we need to get out of it. They give you all that old intellectual bankruptcy because that's exactly what it is. It don't even make sense. Because first of all, if they're saying there is no God, because you're saying there is, they're a fool. That's what God says they are. They ain't what I say it is. So you can get mad with me. I'm just telling you what the word says. And so here we see, we expect the world, but people in the church, people in the church, I suggest to you, yes, because we've had a time where people would rather hear the sounding brass. You know Bogan Brown. Y'all help me out. You know the cymbals. You know they'd rather hear a psychobabble than spiritual truths.
Amen.
They'd rather hear it. There's some folk they don't want to go nowhere near a strong Bible teaching church, classroom, or any institution where the word of God is being poured out. They want to go where they can feel good. They want to go, Sister Hollis, where I'm okay, you're okay. No, I'm not okay, and you're not okay. Because the word of God says that there is none righteous, no, not one. But whenever the word is being taught strongly, matter of fact, I ain't going down to Deacon Sneed today. Deacon Sneed, he going to talk about Jeremiah today. I know where he's going to come from that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to argue with him. I don't want to contest with him. I want to go somewhere where I can feel good. That we need to share the word lovingly and caringly because all of us are just trying to do our best. Your best ain't good enough. Your best will send you straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you need somebody to tell you that. You don't need anybody watering down God's word just to suit or ease your particular situation. We're all sinners. Your sin ain't my sin. My sin ain't your sin. We've all got some sin in our lives. We all need to repent of that sin. And we all need to cleave to the word of God because that is the remedy. What I say is not going to ease you. What you believe about what I say out of the word of God is what's going to give you ease, what's going to give you comfort. And here it says that the people, that the priests, that the prophets, said to him, and I know Sister Callis can read. I heard her read it. She said, they said, you're going to die. They said, as surely as you're born, as surely as you spoke against the church. You spoke against the temple. You spoke against the temple. You need to die. You spoke against the holy city. You need to die. See, they're more concerned about the church and the community than they are Christ. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I'm about right up to here. D, Monty, Sister Vanessa, I'm up to here with folk who think that church. That the church building is more important than Jesus Christ.
My Lord.
There ain't nothing more important in the community that we call church than the word of God.
Amen.
There's nothing. Because if you feed a man and don't give him a word, he's still an unsaved human being. If you feed a man and he's saved, you edify him. If you feed a man physically and he's unsaved and you don't give him a word, He's still doomed. He's still first. He still hungers. The word of God is too important for us to dismiss it in favor of institutions, in favor of positions, in favor of titles. We don't need another title. Priest, prophet, a potentate. We need people who will proclaim the word of God. Sister Callis, what did they say? I want you to read 9 and 10 for me together.
Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant, and all the people who were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord? When the prince of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house.
Those of you who've been around a long time in church, and especially some of the old deacons, they it's amazing when the church can't handle its business, which is God's business, the outside, the law had got to get involved. These people raised so much Cain, Newsom, that the law had to come to the church. Y'all been there. You know, they want to lock preachers out and take the keys, and, you know, deacons want to whoop, and pastors come out the pulpit with their pistols and stick it in the deacon's mouth. And, you know, when they raise so much Cain, Sister Vanessa, that the law got involved. The rulers, they heard these things. They were raising so much Cain. Matter of fact, what they were doing, I'm going to just put it like it is. They were raising hell down there in the church house. And the law got involved and went down. They left the king's house and went to the king of kings' house, supposedly, where they were raising all this Cain. And they sat down and they listened to what was happening. Verse 11. Sister Callis, you still?
And the priest and the prophet spoke to the prince and all the people, saying, this man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city as you have heard with your ears.
They made an accusation. Church folk made an accusation to the law. They put this man on trial for speaking the truth. They put this preacher on trial because he said what thus said the Lord. Many of you would be scared by now. You know, when the police get involved, some of us get scared. They know it's going to be a beating or a bruising happening somewhere. But I want you to see something. Verse 12 says, Sister Callis,
then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard.
What you heard is from God. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest point, one of the biggest points in this lesson today is right there in verse 12. It says, it doesn't matter who's listening. Whether it's church folk or crowd, the outside crowd, your words, if you're speaking for God, you speak the same thing in the church as you do the city. You speak the same thing to the city as you do the church. You speak the same thing to the deacon ministry as you do the judge downtown, if it's the word of God. Don't change the word because your conditions have got unacceptable now. They got a little bit uncomfortable now. Sister Callis says that Jeremiah said, oh, everything you've heard is from the word of God. Everything you've heard is from the mouth of God. Everything you've heard is from the heart of God. I spoke it, I meant it, and I represent it because it's from God. Oh, you mighty bold for a guy who was timid and shy. But see, the word of God will make you bold. The word of God will make you, you just stick to the word. Because if you're right, you're right. And anytime you're speaking the word of God, you're right. We're not talking about your word. We're not talking about your opinion. We're talking about the word of God. Sister Callis, verse 13.
Now therefore, amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you.
It's really interesting, my choice of readers this morning, Sister Bonds, because I definitely wanted Sister Callis to read verse 13. If nothing else, she would have read the golden text if I didn't go any other way. Because Sister Callis has a personality that really lends itself to this particular scripture, because Sister Callis, very knowledgeable, very caring, but will tell you straight up, you know, she'll tell you, you know, she'll give it to you whatever way you want it. You know, if you want it on the rocks, she'll give it to you on the rocks. You want it straight up without a chaser, she'll give you that. So her reading this is perfect. But let me show you what she just read. Let me tell you, if I would permit her, here's how she would say this. She would say, therefore, now you've heard what I had to say. You need to change your ways and your doings. That's an interesting phrase there. You need to amend. You need to change, Fred, your ways and your doing. See, things had gotten so bad. Their ways and their doings were bad. Oh, y'all don't understand. Sister Callis is familiar with a judge called Mathis. And Mathis always has he says, you know, you may not be such, but you got these kind of ways. In other words, you may not be a crackhead, but you got crackish ways. Mm-hmm. See, you may not be doing the hard sin, but you're acting like a sinner. So you need to correct your ways and your doings. Because it's crazy to say you're not doing it anymore, but some of the stuff that some of the evidence means that you got some of them ways still. You know, you'll still not pray when you're supposed to pray. You'll still not study when you're supposed to study. I'm hitting anybody. You still will not worship when you're supposed to worship. You know, you may not be doing this, but you got the ways of people who do that. You're not a dope fiend, but you got dope fiend ways. So he says you need to amend all of that. You need to come clean, or I will do what I said I would do. Remember Shiloh? Verse 14 says, as for me, behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet to you. Here's what Jeremiah said, Sister Callis. Look at here. I told you the word of God. Now you can do with me whatever you want to do with me. Do whatever you think is best. You know, I'm no chump here. I've got the word of God on my side. The word of God says that the word is the power of God. I've got power on my side. So whatever you want to do to me, you want to kill me? Kill me. Because if you kill me, you can't eat me. You can't do nothing but kill me. But either way, my God shall provide. And do with me whatever you think you can do with me. Because God has already told me, as long as I'm speaking his word, that he would be right there with me. So even if you kill me now, God's going to be right here and watch you do it. And then if he's here with me and he's watching you kill me, verse 15, Sister Callis.
But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourself, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing.
The Lord sent me, Jeremiah says, to speak every word that I've said. I've not taken anything away. I haven't added anything to it. He says, so if you kill me, you'll have innocent blood on your hands. You will have the guilt of knowing that you tried to stamp out God's word. Do you realize what will happen to you when you try to stamp out God's word? It is futile. It is crazy. Fred, here's what God says about his word. My word will be there when everything else is gone. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Look here, when y'all get in your little communities and connecting, and when you get in your small groups, and when you go back to churches with steeples and nice cushion padded and socially when you go back to all of that could be gone, but the word of God will never. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. So Jeremiah is saying, if you kill me, you're going to be guilty of trying to stop God's word. And that's what people need to be reminded every day, that this word is too important not to go forth. He's called you. He's called me to go and share the gospel, the word of God, to every living creature. And his commission to you, his charge to you, is the same charge that he gave Jeremiah. You had to preach this thing. You had to tell this thing. No matter what your circumstances are. So just because the culture doesn't like what you are teaching, or what you are preaching, what you are sharing, the culture doesn't matter. Only Christ matters. The culture will change. All you got to do, anybody in here over 50, those of you turning 50, y'all in that generation now, y'all done seen all kinds of sides of this. There's a whole bunch. Matter of fact, you go back to 1960, 1970, 1980. There's a whole bunch of culture changes. But you know what has not changed, Sister Reese? The word of God. Jeremiah 26, verse 13, was the same in August 1st, 1968, as it is August 1st, 2021. Go back to August 1st, 1968, and see what was going on. The thing that blew my mind is that all the folk who have ever examined this scripture in every decade had to say the same thing. God's word is God's word. God's word is to be shared with God's people. I'll see you guys next week, God willing.